Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning on this Resurrection Day. This is Minister Tracy McKelvin here to worship with you on Sunday Sanctuary. This is awesome day. This is an awesome day. This is a joyous day. Every day is a joyous day. It should be for all of us that know and believe that Jesus Christ is the risen King. We are celebrating the day of resurrection today, but you know what? We should always celebrate the entire process, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Most of all, we should always celebrate his life. And before I go into this exciting worship this morning, because I am really excited about what I'm getting ready to talk about this morning, let's go into a word of prayer. Father, dear God, we just thank you and we glorify your holy and righteous name. We thank you, Lord, for this morning. We thank you for your presence. Father, we thank you for life and life more abundantly. And Father, most of all, we thank you for your son, Jesus, who you counted not robbery to give to us to have life everlasting. And so, Father, we thank you that you looked at us enough to say that you wish that no man should perish and that you gave him, Father, to lead us, to guide us, and direct us to all things eternal. So, Father, as we go forth this morning in your word, we ask you to rain on us, breathe on us, Father God, and also continue to let your light be upon our path. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You know, this morning I just want to talk about briefly Matthew 27 chapter to the 51st verse to the 56th verse. No, let's go to the 55th verse. And it is just a part of the resurrection process that nobody really talks about. But you have to pay attention to it because it is a huge amount of information in that this small passage of scripture, and it just lets you know that the power of God is so unexplainable. But the thing about it is that we should grab hold to the mysteries and the revelations that he's given in this hour, and we should be doing just what the word is saying. We should be looking for the signs, the wonders, and miracles among the believers, and hoping that and praying that the unbelievers catch a hold and see what's going on as well, because our mission is to go out and get the fruit, grab the harvest, get the souls. The fields are white, and we should be doing these things and not wait until Resurrection Sunday to usher somebody to come to church. Come on now. Okay, let's go. Okay, starting at the 50th verse. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Okay, he gave up his ghost. He committed his spirit unto God. But look at this. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain, meaning it was torn in two, from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. Right then and there, when Jesus Christ gave up his spirit to the Father, we had immediate access to the holies of holies. But nobody knew it. Nobody knew it except for the ones who actually heard him when he spoke of it, when he told them that they will be able to do greater works, that they will be able to go to the Father, they will be able to do all that he done and more. When he said do greater works and you can than he, that means you had open access to the Father, that you were able to go to him on your own, that you would do signs, wonders, and miracles. People would be restored. People would be delivered. People would be set free. People would rise again. All these things we were supposed to be doing. We are supposed to be doing right now, all because of this one act. And go on. And the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept rose. Now, that right there should have been proof enough for those who saw it that they should know that God is real and Jesus was real and that he came to do just what he said he was going to do, and he done it. That was proof enough. Before they even saw his body, they should have seen when these saints got up out their grave and came home, went home. I wish I would have been home and someone that I loved that died in Christ came home, got up out the grave and came home. First of all, you had probably catch me. But when I realized and come to my senses that Jesus Christ did this, oh, come on. We still been shot. And the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept rose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Right then, right there, his death, burial, and resurrection, first of all, made it possible for the city to be called holy. God allowed Christ to come here, live his life, die, and rise for us to be made holy. We continue to debate. We continue to argue. We continue to slip back. We continue to doubt God's word in a vessel that he has made holy. How could we do that? Lest we didn't believe from the beginning. Why do we have to argue about the things of God? Why do we have to debate about the things of God? Why do we have to doubt the things of God? When we know that there's no way the things that are happening in some of our lives that it couldn't be done without him. Right here's the evidence. He said, and the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept rose. Saints, your grave is open. Get up, rise, and go into the city and tell these people that Jesus Christ is alive today. You have the opportunity again, because you're under the sound of my voice and you hear the word of God that says that you came out your grave. And I'm talking in the spiritual sense now. You have come out your grave. You died to death. Your flesh is supposed to have been dead. It was crucified when Jesus was crucified. And yes, and I know some of you probably saying, well, what is she talking about? I wasn't alive when Jesus Christ was alive. Oh, yes, you was, and your spirit was alive. But you have the opportunity when you said that you commit your body to Christ, when you said that you repent for all your sins, when you said that you crucified your flesh, your spirit lives, and you are to rise out of your grave and go into the city and appear unto many and call them to Christ. 54th verse says, now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. This is what they're supposed to be saying about you, that you are heir to the king, that you are joint heir with the king, that you are complete with the king, and that you will do great works just like the king. That's what the world is supposed to be saying about us today. They're supposed to see the signs, miracles, and wonders in our lives and believe. So what is the world saying about us today? You have the opportunity this morning to get up out of your grave, be built upon your most holy faith, praying in your spirit, go into the city and cause others to believe. He's going to judge your fruit. World, he's going to judge. The world is seeing you and looking at you, but God is going to judge your fruit. So today, don't let just today be the only day that you invite somebody to church and to see them saved. This should be a continual act until eternity comes. And I today encourage and challenge you to do it. I challenge myself that when I open my mouth and I speak the word of God, that they will not hear me, but they will hear the word of God, and they will come forth, and they will submit their lives unto him. You have that opportunity today, tomorrow, until the breath leaves your body, to witness about Jesus Christ, the death, the life, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Don't just talk about he got up. Talk about his life. Your life is a testimony. Why can't his be? Talk about his life. Talk about how he caused his flesh to die, because there was a time in the Garden of Gethsemane where he could have changed his mind. There was that time on the cross where he could have changed his mind because he cried out about it. That's the thing about us. We don't cry out. We get prideful and we get haughty. But it's time for us to cry out. He cried out in the garden to the disciples, asking them to pray with him. And he cried out in the Garden of Gethsemane when he said unto his Father to let this cup pass from him, but nevertheless, thy will be done. And he cried out on the cross, God, why have you forsaken me? But yet and still, he went through the process, all because of us. And we can't even honor his name by speaking it into someone else's life. We must grab a hold to the revelation of this process and walk it out. The graves are open, y'all. Our bodies are pushing to get up, because the spirit in us knows the word, and it knows the process, and it knows that he got up, and it knows that he gave us access to God. So why don't we take advantage of the access that we have to God? Go to him on the behalf of our family members that don't know him, and get ourselves out into the city and cause them to live just like we can live. I challenge you today. I pray today. I stand in the gap for all of us today, saying, God, have mercy on us and forgive us for our slothfulness. Forgive us for our procrastination. Forgive us for being prideful. Forgive us for being haughty. Forgive us for doubting you. And I praise your name right now for the acts that you have done, and for breathing on us, and for deputizing us to do the same and greater. I pray today that we catch hold to the full revelation and do as it says in 55, the verse 55 of Matthew 27. And many women were beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him. And among Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's children. And when the even was come, it was a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who himself was Jesus' disciple. And he went to Pilate and begged of the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded that the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean cloth and laid it in his own tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock, and he had rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulchre. But the 63rd verse is where I'm trying to get to, saying, sir, we remember that the deceiver said, when he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Let them call us deceivers. That's what I wanted to say. They called him a deceiver, but he proved them wrong. And that is our mission today. Let them call us deceivers, but let us continue to speak the word of God, and let the Spirit of God prove them wrong. Not you. The Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, will prove them wrong. Rejoice today. Stand today. No matter what the world has to say about us, let us do the will of the Father. I pray that you enjoy your day today with your family, but nevertheless, while you're in the midst of them, speak of him. I love you today. Stand great, stand tall, and I challenge you with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let him continue to make your feet beautiful, and you continue to walk it out. Have a wonderful day.